And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome yet another personality from the city. In this case, Nate Wallace, city manager. Welcome.
Morning. I didn't say new city manager. Somebody called me that the other day. I said, I'll be the new city manager for 10 years.
Oh, in some people's minds, that may be true. But I saw you walking down the street here. So you have the most recent view experience of what the weather is like on this Friday. What's your sense of things out there?
Well, I thought it was going to be sunny today, but it doesn't look like it's going to pan out. We were projecting snow for Saturday,
yep,
and then some snow next week for a couple of days.
Yeah.
So trying to get as much picked up as we can, and we're finding that we're running out of snow dump area.
Oh, really?
Yes. So we need a warm spell to melt some of it so we can, if we get some bigger stores, we've got some place to put it. And that's kind of a second, you know, we talk about second, third order effects. I wanted to keep the city streets as free of snow as possible. But we've picked up more than we've picked up in years past, and we don't have a lot of place to put it because of the as much as we're hauling. So if folks remember back years back, there were berms several feet high all over the city.
Right.
We've been pretty good the last 2 years and haven't had snow the years before that. So if we get some big snow, we might be seeing some of those berms sticking around the city for a couple of weeks. But I hope we don't get to that point.
Well, I understand the projection is next week for another 2 days with the likelihood of snow being 3 to 5 inches, which seems to be what we have just received, but 2 days worth. I noticed this morning early, trucks were out. They're moving a lot of snow, and there's still a little bit more to move.
And last storm we got in some parts of the city up to 10 inches, so it was a pretty good dump, the last one, plus a smaller one before that, so.
Whenever we talk snow, we're also inevitably going to be talking two things. One, who's responsible for what in terms of removing snow or moving it around? And it's probably a good thing to touch base on that again. And then how quickly we get to move it around. I'm impressed with the main roads. No problem. They're cleared pretty quickly, and I get to go around and look at a lot of them. I'm also impressed with the way a truck with a blade has been able to dance along the sidewalk in downtown Palmer and move snow that can accumulate there, given the right conditions, and that includes not having cars too early parked along the road.
Right.
You can move a lot of that snow out of the way and also pick up stuff because since we are storefront here in our radio station, we get to have snow land outside our door, and we say, okay, we can move this. We don't have something to pick up and take it away, so we sort of push it toward the
back
road
to the street.
Yes, and believe if we do it in a timely fashion that some larger equipment will come by and just sweep it away. So what advice can we give to people about how to do this?
Well, by code, the sidewalks, whether they're in front of a storefront or your house, are the responsibility of the property owner. Even the in downtown, we've got this kind of mixture of private property right-of-way. Even if the sidewalk's in the right-of-way, like in some of our neighborhoods, it's the by code, again, it's the property owner's responsibility, which is not different than any many other snow states or places within the city or within the state. From the city standpoint, our first priority is to keep the roads open so the traffic can flow. People can get to and from work or to and from the hospital, to and from school, things like that. So keeping the roads themselves, whether it's one lane or two lane, that's our immediate goal, is to make it trafficable. After that, then it's trying to get the snow, either the lanes widened even more, depending on the snowstorm, or to get the snow out of the way so that the next storm, we aren't building berms up 5 and 6 feet tall. There are, when we have the opportunity, like you mentioned with downtown, we will put the blade, when we have experienced operators that won't take out a brick front or a corner or a vehicle, We try and push the blade farther into the right-of-way, which may include some sidewalks and pathways. So when you see the blade coming downtown, that's because we do have currently experienced enough crew that can manipulate that blade without causing damage, right. Damage to the sidewalk or damage to other property. So when we can, and we do that also in some of our neighborhoods. Again, it depends on cars, vehicles, trailers, things like that. They're in the right-of-way, not necessarily the road, but if you can't get the blade to where the sidewalk is, then we just won't do it.
Sure. And in the matter of vehicles, I know in the downtown area, you have one circumstance, neighborhoods another circumstance. Officially, what's the time frame when the advice is please do not park along the streets in downtown Palmer?
So in commercial industrial areas, it's from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m.
Okay.
Parking on the streets. In residential areas, it's all, when there's snow, it's no parking in the streets.
Oh.
Then,
oh.
Yep.
That is interesting because I note that in some residential areas, there is a habitual, if you will, parking along.
Yes.
Because that becomes a standard way of doing things. And so then people have to really change their behavior.
Yes. And we try it. And that's the reason we do the robocall for snow blowing and snow hauling.
Okay.
And so some folks have gotten knock on the door at 3 a.m. when the plow is coming down. Please remove your vehicle. It's interesting that you bring this up today. We're getting ready to post. Chief Ketterling put together a quick post for our Facebook, which should go up today, on reminding folks what the city standards are for
very good
parking and
because
placing your vehicles and things like that. So.
Yeah, with the upcoming snow likely to happen, that and we escaped so long. I guess that's another contributing factor. The first part of the year seemed to be well, a little bit of snow, but nothing really to worry about now.
And there's still memory of a few years back where there wasn't much snow either. We went for a spell where we didn't get much snow.
Where does all the snow go? Where do you take it?
Is that a rhetorical question? We have a couple of snow dumps, primarily at the airport. We lease space from ourselves. Because the airport is an enterprise operation, which operates as a business, and the FAA monitors that. So we lease two different lots at the airport for city snow, and then there's another large lot for airport snow. So that's our primary haul sites, are the two lots out there. And if you drive out Evergreen out to Airport Road, it's pretty good size mound, about 20 feet tall now. It's tall as a building, as big as right now half a football field.
Okay.
We have a smaller one on the opposite side by the fire training area. We'll pile snow there as well. Now we're looking at other options. That city has property elsewhere, but we have to be concerned about drainage. We've talked about putting snow at the soccer fields. That drains into, there's drainage there, but if we put too much, then we'll potentially put more pressure on our drainage system there into the residential area. So and the other piece is it's not clean snow. It's stuff we've scraped off the road. So once the snow's gone, we've got all that gravel we've put down. We don't want to put down on a green lawn like the soccer fields, but we're looking at other places that we've discussed purchasing additional property somewhere in the future for snow dumps.
Okay,
but right now that's not on our capital list. So,
what I noticed also this past Thursday, the wind was blowing very hard early in the morning, and so I dutifully contacted the hotline number at Public Works. I think it was 761-1358.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened because I wanted to know whether I should put my small trash can out or not. And yes, there was a message there for me saying it looked like, given how windy it was, that there would not be a trash pickup. Then, of course, the day went on and the wind stopped.
Yes. So Wednesday night we looked at the weather, and it was in the weather forecast. It wasn't for winds, but I think it was 10 to 15. So when we all went to bed, we were going to pick up trash at 5 o'clock. Actually, the snow crews were in about 3:34. And the winds were blowing pretty hard.
Right.
So by 5, it looked like it was going to continue to be 35-mile-an-hour winds. And the potential for the dump to close was looming. So about 5 o'clock, we changed the recording. Didn't put it on Facebook or didn't make the robocall at that point. And then by 7:38, the landfills said, we're not closing. The message was out there. So we still sent the truck out to pick up the cans that were out already. And also part of that, there'll be no extra charge for those folks that didn't put their can out and had extra trash.
So, and the result is if you didn't put it out, it'll be next Thursday, the cycle will come through.
Yep.
That was interesting. I think that's a good example of, in my case, because I leave the house and I'm at 6:30, and I'm encouraged to put the trash can out before I leave.
Yeah.
I check before, and I have to tell you that the wind was really absolutely blowing enough. So I said, "Yeah, this is good. I'm not going to put it out." Yeah. All the rest of it.
But again, getting back to the taking care of your community and being invested in your community, if the winds are blowing and you think your trash can's going to blow over, then please don't put it out.
Right. Yeah.
And we got to rely on folks to also help us keep the city clean. Just because Alaska Waste is driving down the road doesn't mean your trash can's going to stand up unless you've got some lead weights to it, or then you're going to pay extra because they charge by the weight. But
right.
But again, just having a little bit of pride in your community not to put your garbage can out if you think it's going to blow over.
Okay. All right. Well, we know that there's not a lot of construction going on. The Jensky building, which has been the subject of much, I think, approving commentary, because what I've heard unsolicited many people say, it's a pretty building. It looks nice.
Yes.
Which is not something you hear about industrial buildings all the time.
No. But it is right. I mean, the gateway sign on Colony as you come in.
Sure.
Welcome to Palmer. Then you come down the Key Bank Plaza. And then you hit what we call downtown, I guess.
Right.
Lack of a better term for it. That's one of the first buildings you see is Jensky's Auto.
And yeah.
They've done a fantastic job of being a gateway to the very downtown.
Right. It's a dramatic change. I've driven now in there a number of times, and I look and I say, it feels so different. I mean, it was nice, the old little building that was there and the side of the hotel and all, but this has somehow changed my feeling as I come in. And I'm just amazed that that's what it took, and there it is.
A fire.
Yeah, well, yeah, but the one build, yeah, that and the fact that you could put one structure in a sight line and make such a difference about the whole way things appear.
It's kind of bittersweet because when you look at old pictures of Palmer,
sure,
and there's a lot of folks that want the Palmer to look like it used to. Jensky's was a standout. You look at pictures from the 50s, 60s,
right?
That corner hadn't changed, and now we've got a new building. So if you want to compare what it looked like years ago to now, it's more modern. But that's not a bad thing. They did a great job with what they did in changing, adding structure to their. I mean, it's going to be great for their business. There's no doubt about that. The way it's set up
should be very efficient. But move it down. They had a good reputation over the years.
Oh yeah.
But do you have any sense? Here's of course the big thing. Every day that it seems it's moving closer and closer. When is it going to open?
Jensky's?
Yeah.
They had a celebration Tuesday, and I believe they're going to start doing their big grand opening tomorrow.
Oh.
My understanding.
That close? Good. Wonderful.
They're taking appointments.
All right. Okay. Good for them. Well, now, I noticed at the last meeting that the Palmer City Council had that there was some discussion about a road project and a roundabout. Tell me more about that, because I'm not sure I quite got the sense of what was being possibly suggested by the mayor.
So Arctic Boulevard, Old Glenn Highway, is a state road.
Right.
And the city doesn't control our own destiny on that stretch from the bridge up to, that whole road all the way up through Palmer High School. And it, much like the Glen Highway, bisects a portion of the town. It almost cuts us into quarters. So crossing that road, there's one crossing, which is Alaska and Arctic.
Right.
Stoplight is. So if you want to cross pedestrian-wise, that's the only protected crossing you have. It's right there. We've got the skateboard park on Valley. We encourage young folks to and old, anybody with a skateboard, to utilize that park. Across the street was the Yak. My understanding that building has transitioned property owners. I don't know what the future holds for that, but it's been for sale for a while. And I understand
right.
It's been sold. So getting kids back and forth across the Arctic, they're just darting across there. The other piece is on the that side of the several railroad tracks. That side of the tracks are some large institutions, the state offices. There's a medical center there. There's the borough building. So there's a lot of traffic that exits town. Either they come through downtown Evergreen, which is a good thing for businesses, but when folks are just mass exiting, we want to give them plenty of opportunity to get out of town. So Valley is another way for folks to get to the Old Glen, and if they're going back to Anchorage, go that way. Of course, there's Chugach to go out to Springer.
Right.
But there's no light now on Springer and Glen Highway. So the only controlled access for vehicles is Cobb, Dogwood, and Arctic. But if you can't turn left on Arctic, that's out. So really now we're down to Evergreen and Dogwood for everybody that wants to get on the Glen. So it's the collector roads are becoming more and more thoroughfare roads. So two issues there at Valley and Arctic or Old Glen is, one, helping vehicles turn left so they can get out of town, or turn right. It's hard to get out from Valley or Dahlia.
Right.
And the other piece is getting pedestrians back and forth. So the mayor, now that we have all the roundabouts all up and down Bogard, the mayor has suggested maybe we add another roundabout on that stretch of road in Valley. Could potentially help. That may help with a roundabout ease traffic and some pedestrian crossing. There's been some side comments about the traffic circles not helping pedestrians up there because they have a tunnel, but you have to get across 49th Street. There's no tunnel across 49th to get to from this side of that road to the high school. So
right.
So I think there's some signage there, and they've done a good job with crosswalks. But I don't know if anybody's looked at, done an assessment of, has it helped get kids across the road?
I've ridden a bike through those crossroads and talked to other people who have used bikes, which aren't they're not pedestrians, but there's a similarity in moving across. And the advantage, just my own experience, is that I only have to look one way, and I only have one. Yep. Or focus my look one way, and I only have one lane, one place to go across, and I've got an island of safety, and then I can go to the next one.
Yep.
And that's a much improved over traffic coming two ways at me and having to go much further across.
Yes, uncontrolled traffic.
Yes, right.
So basically, that was her idea, and she's, again, the council brought it up a couple of meetings ago and then has talked to engineers and folks to try and get some more sense on whether that's something that's feasible. And she's made some progress, which is great.
Okay.
No promises from anybody, because now it's just a good idea, and it's better than it. Even if it doesn't help people get across pedestrian-wise, it will help traffic-wise. But the pattern has to be, as Councilmember Full stated, it's pretty close to a traffic light, so they'll have to adjust the traffic light to some degree so we don't back up.
Make that kind of thing happen.
So the stoplight becomes irrelevant. But yeah, we've asked for stoplights, we've asked for flashing pedestrian lights, and this one is the first one that's actually kind of taken at least a little bit of root. So we'll see where it goes from there.
That's very interesting that now that, that we have had so many roundabouts in place,
yep,
that kind of original pushback before the first one appeared has, at least from what I've been able to listen to, has died down. I mean, mm-hmm. People have become used to it. And I know as I drive through, very often my as I slip on through very nicely, and you know, do the dance around the roundabout and away, I think, oh, I remember when I used to have to stop here.
Yes,
and sit.
And there's still some in Anchorage that I don't look forward to driving to. So ours aren't as heavily. They're on. And Bogard's a big road, but when you look at some of those in Anchorage and the Diamond area, where you've got two lanes coming in.
Oh, they can become problematic.
Yeah. So again, I think a lot of it depends on the size, and the ones we have out here and the amount of volume of traffic, they're right sized, with, I think, the exception of Selden might be a little tight.
Selden is, that's about as many as you, I don't think you could make one smaller.
No.
That's found the limit. Well, let's just go back quickly to one thing that I know will be coming more used and of interest to people, although there's still some use at the present time. I'm talking about trails. We talked about moving snow. Are trails cleared? We have a range of trails, the trail system that runs from the depot north, and then we have, of course, the trails that run out to the bridge and across toward the Butte. We have the trail along Palmer Whistle Highway. And when do they get attention in terms of clearing to be used?
I can't speak for the state and borough maintained trails, but they do get, especially the trail of the Butte does get plowed at some point, and so does the trail from the bridge up into the city. And that's done by the state. I don't know if it's contract or how it's done, but it does get done. But within the city, we have a part of our roads crew aren't qualified to operate. They're seasonal, aren't qualified to operate the big equipment.
So
they can get on a tractor, depending on the weather and the amount of snow, and plow some of our paved trails. So sometimes you'll see the Shane Woods trail plowed before the roads are. That's because
you have someone who's...
There's a tractor available, and he can zip on down those trails. Same thing with Cope Industrials. We try and maintain the paved ones as much as we can when all the seats are filled in the big equipment. So if there's a pickup truck that's available, well, he's going to be in the pickup truck driving the plow on that one other places. But we do the paved trails, we do try and scrape off. Auklet, believe it or not, there's a paved bike path there. One of those paths to nowhere. But we try, and again, because it's a bike path, we try and get that one too. So if it's paved, we generally get to it within a couple of days.
Okay. We know that each year there's a variety of construction, and I'm wondering what you see as coming up this next year. We have the road system. We can almost devote a whole, as we get closer, in particular, a whole session to that. That's the Glen Highway. But I'm thinking about other construction, either by the city, in the city, or a large building construction or anything of that sort that you can give people heads up about.
From the city, the wastewater treatment plant is continuing on. So it's about 55% complete now. So but it's outside the city limits, so folks don't typically see that.
Right.
The airport will have a little bit more work done on the runways and taxiways, not so much construction, but it's probably close to $250,000 or $500,000 to $750,000 worth of work for contractors. We'll be doing some light work at the library. The front doors are being replaced this spring. So it'll probably be a 24 to 48 hour time period where the library will be closed so they can do that. The public safety building or the police department trooper building will have some work done this year. But as far as major projects, most of those have passed. Or the council approved $500,000 to pave Auklet from the tunnel to Valley.
We're
in the process of it had been engineered to some point. I think it was 60%. So we're going through the process of getting it final design, and then we'll see what the design estimate looks like, whether we need to solicit more grants. We're always trying to get grants for all our projects, but that one we may be able to take care of on our own if we can't find funding from the state or feds. But those are the ones that are kind of on the docket for the next year.
So that means that you'd have a paved road bringing more people into the tunnel underneath the highway. So we weren't going to talk a lot about the Glen Highway thing, but that whole construction change, will there be change to that tunnel that's used actually to flow people on up to the high school, for example?
Yes. If you've noticed that the house up on the top of the hill has been boarded up. So
yes,
the state purchased that, and their plan, now that they've actually been able to acquire that property, is to reroute the, not move the tunnel, but reroute the trail so that it makes more of a gradual swing into the tunnel. Okay. And that's what really brought that. So we've got one side of the tunnel, and the city has taken on the opposite side of the tunnel to make it so it does connect. We can take that trail further into the, actually, when it's all said and done, we like that trail to get all the way out to the Butte Trail. But we have this thing called the Old Glen that separates us. So we're looking at just not only taking it the trail from Valley, because this project, when it goes forward, will take the trail from the Auklet Tunnel all the way up to the railroad tracks.
Oh,
this summer we're going to put in a gravel crossing and over the tracks. Now there's a social trail we're going to put some gravel on. And that'll connect to the existing trail in Auklet. And then our intent is to take that either up to, when it gets to Gulcana, up to the Old Glen, and then on parallel to Old Glen, or potentially push the trail through, I think it's Independence Drive, and then into the borough owns the property where Academy Charter, and potentially connect either behind there or through there to the Mat River Trail system. And then that would... The borough's already purchased what's been known as a copperweed property, so that's in government hands. That's part of their trail system. So if we can make that connection, then we'll have connections from the Butte, connection to Matanuska Village or Matanuska City, Kepler Lakes area, because that's the borough's big trail project, is to bring that trail from Kepler into Palmer.
Wow.
Connect to the Butte. So we'll have three... It'll be an intersection of three primary trails. So.
That's a very, very interesting thing, long sought after, because right now they are separate. And but that I could see that as being heavily used.
Yeah. So it also connects you to the rail trail there at Valley. So you can, we have a lot of trails that just aren't connected. So that's a couple of years in the making. Still a couple more years to go, but it'll really enhance the trail network, and folks that want to take long rides without having to get in the traffic, it'll be a good thing.
And of course, we'll finish up the trails by saying it's still a trail from Palmer on the west side of the Glen Highway down to the fairgrounds.
The west side, is that?
That's the other
side. The railroad side. Yeah, so we'll have a trail to the fairgrounds, yes. It won't be on the side that the city and most of the citizens of the city want, but... There will be a crossing. There'll be a stoplight, so you can go from one side to the other and then back.
Well, that's still a significant improvement over the present circumstance, where as the fair begins, people do the dance down the railroad tracks.
Yes.
Yeah. One way or the other. Well, okay. I've asked a lot of questions as we're finishing up here. I'm talking with Nate Wallace, Palmer's city manager. Do you have any comments you'd like to make before we end?
No, it's just, there's more snow coming, so be patient with the city as we plow this stuff up. Again, as we talked earlier in the show, it's our intent is to get the roads clear, and then as we can, move it out of the way.
Okay. Good luck with that. I mean, seriously.
we've got a good crew, so they get out early. It's 3:34 trying to get out there before traffic. Again, make sure that the school buses, the first thing is school buses that early, and then the downtown before parking. But if you see a flashing light, then give it some room.
Give them some room. All right. Thank you, Nate Wallace.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.